Know who was here. It is such a privilege to be here. I was just bantering, sorry, with my Hispanic brothers and sisters while the kids were leaving. But thank you so much for having us. A couple things that I left out of the video, and I apologize for that. 2024, we had a Mexican missionary, the second missionary that we actually hosted. We've hosted two missionaries now. Mexican missionary brother Jonathan Jacobo came and stayed with us in our ministry for 9 months in Panama City while he was trying to figure out exactly where to start a church. While he was with us, we started a bus route in Betania, which is the area that he ended up starting his church. And we started busing people into our church. When he started La Iglesia Bautista Providencia, Providence Baptist Church, we merged a bus route of 20 to 25 people into a church. And five of our church members, three of which were junior church and Sunday school teachers, transferred their membership over to his church to help jumpstart that church. Every Sunday morning, we have about 14 Sunday school and junior church teachers or preachers. We have trained we have trained all of them. We have led many of them to the Lord and baptized them and discipled them ourselves. But the Lord has allowed us to only be there for 8 years, but has really done a great work in that church. And if you ever want to come down, I'm scheduling missions trips with different churches. So far, 10 churches have given me dates. I'm waiting on 9 other churches to give me dates. But 9 of the 10 that have given me dates have never taken a group to a foreign field. And part of it's the scare factor, just fear, not knowing what you're getting yourselves into. The other thing is, what would we do while we're there? Well, I have a job for you. We're trying to put a John Roman on every door in the country. There are 1.53 million doors, according to the last census, and there are probably 200,000 to 400,000 in the islands of Gunayala, in the Darien jungle, and also in the Indian reservation called the Nobe Bubles. If you would like to come down, we're trying to get a container. Have been already given a container. We want to put a van in it and ship it down. We've bought 3 vans in the country that have been mechanical nightmares, just because the specs of the Central American vehicles is so much lower than American specs, and so we want to get a good quality van to hit phase 3 and phase 4 of this desire to put a John Roman on every door. Phase 1 was hitting a mile radius around our church, several hundred thousand people, and we accomplished that. Phase 2 is we're trying to get a John Roman on the rest of the Metroplex, which is 46% of the entire population of Panama. Panama is about the size of North Carolina. And phase 3 is going to be hitting the rest of the villages and towns that have not been hit yet. We're working with several independent Baptist churches that have committed to to saturate their area. Phase 4 is hitting those jungle areas and islands that I told you about. So we're gearing up for phase 3 and phase 4 already. Here in the next 2 years, we're planning on finishing phase 2 and phase 3. And we want a container to get close to the jungles where we're going to be saturating. That way we don't have to haul so much material back and forth. And we like a good quality vehicle to be able to operate. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 5, and I'd like to leave you with a thought from God's Word. Mrs. Bishop said that she has never heard a bad short message. And Mrs. Bishop, 2 hours or less is short, right? Just trying to get a feel. It is a blessing to be here. I get nervous with the gringos. I get nervous with white people. I've been in Latin America for 25 years, and Americans make me nervous. But this crowd, I feel right at home. All right. But I appreciate you allowing me to be here and be myself. Isaiah chapter 5, just want to read two verses with you to get started. Verse 13 says this, therefore, by the way, if you ever find that word, you need to find out what is therefore. God says, therefore my people, talking about Israel, have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Verse 14 starts with the same word. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for allowing me to be at the Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Alexandria. Pray to God that you please bless the service, bless these people. God, they have come to hear from you and not from me, and I ask and pray that they would be able to hear exactly what you want. And I ask and pray that you please meet each spiritual need that is here today. And God, please feed us from your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5 here, you'll notice it's very interesting. I think it probably plays into chapter 6. If you know Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is going to make a very missions a statement that's very, very, very missions-minded, and that is, "Hear my, send me." I believe that his heart was pricked in chapter 5, and he was available and ready to do God's mission because of chapter 5. In chapter 5 here, God explains through Isaiah to Israel why, number one, they're going into captivity. He says, therefore, because of the preceding verses, and he's already laid it out because of this, this, and this, therefore you're going into captivity, Israel. And then in verse 14, he says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Now, I do believe that we need to have a proper interpretation. The word hell in English is not referring to the place that we know of as hell. You have to understand this is before Jesus Christ, and everything that we know about hell and it's every aspect of hell that we know about came from Jesus Christ. He's the only one that knows about it and told about it, all right? But the word hell in the Old Testament comes from the word Seol. It is the place of the dead. They knew that there was a place of judgment. There was a place where people would go that did not believe in the Messiah to come. Are y'all with me this evening? We use the word hell, and we know about the place, and we know about who goes there and what it's like and everything else. But they did know that there was a place. There was the place of the dead. And God says here in Isaiah chapter 5, why Israel was number one going into captivity, but also he uses the word multitudes in verse 14. Why multitudes of his people, his chosen people, were on their way to hell. And folks, I don't believe that anything has changed. Now, can we ever change the dynamics and change from the fact that there are more people on their way to hell than there are on their way to heaven? No, sir. The greatest soul winner who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 7, he says that there are many people on their way to hell that go through the broad gate, that go into perdition. He says that few are going to go through the narrow gate and go into life eternal. We can't ever change the dynamics, folks. It is a true statement that there are more people in hell than there are in heaven. And we'll never be able to change that dynamic. But folks, I do believe that there are many that would never go to hell if they could only know of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace. There are many people. But the fact of the matter is that this world is a dark place. Now, folks, Can I explain to you why darkness prevails? Darkness has no power. If you don't believe me, go into a dark room and flick on a light. There is no contest. There's no competition. Darkness has no power. None. We talk about the power of darkness and this, that, and the other. And there is a regime you can read about in Ephesians chapter 6. Satan does have his army. But folks, they have no power in the presence of light. The problem with today's world is the lack of light. And folks, I believe that we have the same problems that Israel had a long time ago. Look in verse 1 of chapter 5, and you'll find the first reason why hell hath enlarged herself, why they were going into captivity as well. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill." Now, if you jump down to verse 7, the Bible says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of what? Israel." I don't believe in this replacement theology junk that's going around today. All right, we're not the 13th tribe of Israel. We haven't replaced Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. Amen. And you can see it on the news. Nation so-and-so is up against them, and nation so-and-so is so much larger, and why can't they annihilate Israel? Because they're still God's chosen people. You go all the way to the tribulation. The tribulation has everything to do with a country that rejected their Messiah. I'm tired of YouTube and internet preachers. I'm tired of it. We're getting messed up by people. You don't even know their doctrine. You're listening to people that are not soul winners. They don't have good doctrine, but because they have a following, they're leading sheep into the slaughter. Now, I don't believe in any of this replacement theology, but I do believe this, that we're part of the vine. John chapter 15, the Bible says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." So am I part of the vineyard? Yes, absolutely. Now, am I the vineyard that he's talking about here? No, sir. I'm not Israel. But there is a correlation, and there is a unique similarity between the church and Israel. I didn't say one replaced the other, but there is a lot of similarities. And he talks about the vineyard here. And look at verse 2. The Bible says, "And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Did you notice that it doesn't say that they didn't produce any grapes? God says this, the reason why you're going into captivity, the reason why hell hath enlarged herself is, number one, because when I asked for grapes, you gave me wild grapes. Now, on the surface, this sounds really, really kind of superficial. It sounds very shallow. But folks, I want you to notice all of what he did. He says in verse 2 that he fenced it. He protects Israel to this day, by the way. There's no explanation why this little country has not been annihilated except for a divine protection upon it. Israel is still God's people. And the Bible says he gathered out the stones thereof. Hey folks, have you ever... Y'all out here in Virginia might not have a lot of farming, but they say that taking the stones, I just got this afternoon 22 pictures of a missionary that we're supporting. When I went to Panama, we started what I consider a missions-minded church. We support 13 different missionaries at $50 a month. I do 10%. They do the Panamanian people do 90%. One of the missionaries that we support, actually right now we're supporting 10. We support a new work in Panama for 2 years, and we just finished with 3. One of the missionaries, he's in Cabo Bebora there in Panama, and he goes there, and when he went there with his wife, he told our church that one of the first things that they have to do is build their house. Because Cabo Bébora is out on the coastline of Panama. It's the access point for the places where we go in the fishing boats. And out there, the people build their houses and live in those houses. Multiple generations will live in that house, and they'll just build annexes onto their house for their family members, this, that, and the other. So when a missionary goes out there, they have no houses that they can rent. It's not an option. So to live out there, they either live under the stars or they build a house. And so Brother Joel de Gracia, he sent me 22 pictures of the progress of their building of their house, and they're out there removing trees. I'm thankful I'm in the United States of America. I don't have to pitch in, because the pictures showed a lot of work. They were digging down, I don't know how many feet. I would venture to guess maybe 12 feet down, huge trees that they were uprooting and leveling the ground. When you go into a field and clear it, the work involved in taking out the rocks is a lot. And back then they didn't have tractors, by the way. It was all their back or a mule or something, an animal. And God says, listen, I go in and I fence you in. I protect you. I pull out the rocks. And they say that if you clear all the rocks, the stones out of this, out of a field, you'll have to do it again and again because of the earth's movement. It pushes rocks to the surface. Y'all know why, one reason why we need to come to church over and over? Because our heart gets hardened. God has to go in and break up the fallow ground, and He has to deal with offenses and deal with bitterness and deal with this and the other. And God says, listen, I fence you and I'm pulling out the rocks of your heart. He says, planted it with the choicest vine. Some of you all are from different countries, and you know that in your countries, the people there, they're blinded by their beliefs. But folks, have you ever looked at their gods? There's no God that man has invented that's as good as my God. I mean, you go to different places and they have statues, and they'll wad up prayers on a piece of paper in mud, and they'll throw it at their idols, and if it sticks, then their God accepted their prayer, and if it falls off, He rejected them. And you think of the Muslims and their God, and just about any God that you can poke a stick at, they're not very loving gods. Y'all know that we're connected to the choicest vine, the most loving God. Man cannot invent a God that would leave glory, come to earth, and die for us. There's no religion out there that has invented so kind and loving a God. And folks, just so you know, there's a lot of similarities to what God is saying to Israel to what God can say to us. Hey, listen, I fence you in, I protect you, and I deal with your bitterness, and I deal with your offenses, and I deal with your hard-heartedness, I deal with you, and I love you, and I pour out my blessings upon you, and I'm so good to you. And He keeps going and going and going. And then at the end of the verse He says, and He looked, God looked, that Israel should bring forth grapes. And the Bible says it brought forth what? Wild grapes. The Bible, the word wild there means poisonous. They say that there are grapes that you shouldn't eat. They can make you sick. They could actually kill you if you get enough of the toxins from those grapes. And what God is saying here is that Israel, you look like the real thing. But if a person got close enough to bite into your faith, they would be poisoned because you're not genuine. Are you all understanding what I'm saying? They say that the difference between the good grapes and the wild grapes, the poisonous grapes, there are three indications whether you can eat them or not, or whether they'll hurt you. They say that the leaves indicate the spiral thingamabobbers that come off of them and grab a hold of things, that they'll indicate. But if my son, one of my sons, I have four of them, that one of my sons comes out of the woods and he has a handful of grapes and he says, "Dad, can I eat these? I don't have leaves to look at. And I don't have the thingamabobbers to look at." They say that the third indication of whether they're poisonous or not poisonous is by the seed. You either have to cut them open or bite into them to know if they're poisonous or not. Y'all see what God's saying? He says, Israel, nations are looking at you. And they see the temple, and they see the temple worship, and they see your sacrifices, and they think that you believe in Jehovah God. And they hear your hallelujahs, and they hear the psalms that you sing, and they think your heart's right with me. But if they got close enough and came into your homes, they'd find idolatry. Are you all understanding? He's saying the reason why your kids are poisoned, your neighbors are poisoned, your coworkers are poisoned by your faith is because you look good on the outside, but your heart's not with me. You say one thing with your mouth, but you live another thing. And folks, can you not understand? And I understand that this is the criticism of the world that they throw at us, that we're hypocrites, this, that, and the other. Unfortunately, they're right most of the time. Folks, do you understand that you cannot fool your kids? They know if your faith is real. They see mom at church saying, "God bless you." And then I'm going to use an idiom in Spanish. In the car, have tacos al pastor. Amen? All right. Y'all are not real Hispanics or something, I tell you. Goodness gracious. Have fried pastor is another way of saying it. Grill your pastor. Criticize the message. Are y'all with me? The neighbors, they see us dressed up for church and dressed like the world on Monday. The co-workers, they hear, "I'm a Christian." But when a crisis happens, we respond just like the lost world. Are y'all with me this evening? God is telling Israel, the reason why you're going into captivity, the reason why your neighbors and co-workers and relatives are on their way to hell is because you say one thing, but your heart's not with me. He says, number two, in verse 8, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." He's describing materialism. He says, Israel, look at me. All you're interested in is building on your property until you max it out. Until you have no more property to build on. Until your houses are touching each other. Your desire is to have no neighbors. You're exiled and you live on an island to yourself. Folks, we're losing our kids because we say we believe in God and we want them to serve God, but all of education is geared to them making money. Folks, we're losing our young people because we're pushing them toward the world. We want them to have good careers. And by the way, there is no problem with making money. Back in the day, I worked two jobs and I was making good money. There's nothing wrong. But folks, the problem is if money has us. If we can't serve God because, hey, listen, I've got to do this. I can't go to church this weekend because there's overtime available. Y'all are very quiet. Is it because I'm in the north? Am I in the north here? No. Is it the north? We're the southerners. Where are we? Okay. Up, I hear there's some southerners in the balcony. Can't hear you. No. But folks, what God told Israel thousands of years ago is exactly what we're seeing today. He says, Israel, look at me. The reason why you're being marched out into captivity and the reason why your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors and co-workers are on their way to hell is because the true believers in Jehovah are hypocrites. They're hiding their light under a bushel. They say one thing, but their actions do not prove what they say. They say they believe in God, but if you bite down into their faith, they get poisoned. It's not genuine. Folks, do you have any idea where we are in Christianity today? The average child of God does not read the Bible on a daily basis. Does not pray more than 2 or 3 minutes, and that's because they pray over their food sometimes, a day. The average child of God has never memorized a chapter of God's precious Word. Folks, that's our sword. No wonder the devil is just trampling us underfoot. We can't pick up a sword that we don't have available to us. The average child of God has never shared their faith on a constant and consistent basis. In fact, most children of God nowadays have never led another person to Jesus Christ in their life. And we say that we believe that there's a heaven, and we say that we believe that there is a hell. And when we say that we believe that Jesus is coming soon. But when people look deeper, they see a whole different truth. And the reason why they're on their way to hell is because of materialism. But there is one more thing. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night till wine inflame them." Verse 18, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were with a cart rope." Verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Is that not today? My word. "That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Is that not the day that we live in? Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle drink." He's talking to his chosen people. He's saying, do you understand, nation of Israel, why you're being marched into captivity? O nation of Israel, that are the ones that hold the truth. You have the copies of the Word of God. Do you understand why multitudes of you are heading to hell? Is it not a sad shame when we lose generations, whole generations of young people? Do you have any idea why this happens? Because the believers in Jesus Christ are hypocrites. The believers in Jesus Christ are materialistic. The here and the now is more important than eternity. And the believers in Jesus Christ are involved in sin. Folks, we went to Panama almost 10 years ago. We're coming back. Apostasy is everywhere. I'm shocked at how churches are not going soul winning today. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at how a pastor can say, "Hey, listen, we're going to, they're foreigners. There are thousands of people coming to us. Let's get them the gospel." And a child of God would sit at home instead of going to, what is it called, National Mall? They're coming to you. You don't have to send a missionary to where they are. And yet the child of God sits at home and watches television instead of getting somebody the gospel. Hey, listen, to pass that track, you don't even have to share the gospel. You just have to give them a gospel tract. And I can give you many hundreds of stories about how a gospel tract brought somebody to Christ. I ran the Mercy and Truth printing ministry for several years, and we have passed out hundreds of thousands of tracts in John and Romans in Panama. I'm just telling you, it still works. It's amazing what God can do with His Word. But folks, we're losing ground. Let me ask you this. Why would light ever lose? Are y'all with me? What? How can light lose? When we simply decide not to shine. When we hide our light. Let's pray. God, ask and pray that you please use this thought to challenge us concerning leading others to Christ and living the way we should, so that we might give the next generation a chance to believe in the God that we 100% believe in. God, I ask and pray that you please bless the Lighthouse Baptist Church, but would you please allow it to do more for your honor and your glory? For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing. The call has been given. The altar is open.